ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। वॉकिंग इन ब्रह्मा बाबाज फुटस्टेप्स एंड टुडे इज द लास्ट डे ऑफ द व्यक्त मंथ एंड डेफिनेटली फॉर द होल ईयर राउंड वी वुड लाइक टू walk in Brahma Baba's footsteps. But how many footsteps did Baba walk to reach the stage of perfection? There are mainly 8 footsteps that Baba walked in his life and reached the stage of perfection. When Brahma Baba, if we just look at the life history of Brahma Baba, if we look at Brahma Baba's life, it is like when he started getting the visions and he got the realization of the self. And during that time, he started practicing soul consciousness. It is said that Brahma Baba used to write on the walls, I am a soul, Yashoda is a soul, Narayan is a soul, Radhika is a soul. He used to write the name of each one and started practicing, developing this soul conscious stage. Those initial days in Hyderabad, Sindh. And after he got into that practice, not only he practiced that, but by the end of the day, he would write his diary. And some of you might have seen his diary when Lachu Dadi was here. She used to keep that diary with herself. Now I think it's with Raju Bhai. So in that diary, Baba used to bring forth the whole quote, as if mind is the minister and the soul is the emperor. So self-sovereignty, and how he would ask questions to the mind. So today, how was your court? How did your people function? Were they able to follow what were the directions given to them? Or did they start playing their own dictates? He used to ask the mind, the minister, so did the eyes deceive you any time? Did the mouth deceive you any time? Each and every organ, he would ask a question and write down in his diary. This is the way Baba used to write his diary. So practicing soul consciousness and developing that stage of self-sovereignty was the first footstep that Baba walked. Then after that, when he got the realization of Shiv Baba and he became an instrument, the first thing he did was complete surrender. Mind, body, wealth, everything, he created a trust of 5 sisters. And on the name of those 5 sisters, he surrendered everything, to the extent he surrendered himself also. And he took the permission from his family members also, letting them know, look, I am now on a different path and I have decided to completely surrender my mind, body and wealth for a special purpose, and so you would not get anything from this property. So to that extent, everything was completely surrendered. with his intellect also he got surrender. So complete surrender was the second step that he took. So first was soul consciousness and practicing becoming self-sovereign. In order to do that, he called his court, wrote his diary and everything. And then when he surrendered everything, after that, he did not have this feeling of I or mine. That was the extent that he surrendered himself. Whenever he had to say anything, always felt as if I am an instrument. And Baba is Karan Karavanhar, who gets his things done through this chariot. So having this feeling as if I am an instrument, nothing is mine. Even in the yajna, when somebody said, this is Baba's property or anything, Baba made them realize nothing is mine. I have surrendered everything, so nothing is mine now. Never ever had this consciousness as if this is my hard-earned wealth that I have dedicated. No, nothing is mine. Even this body is not mine. That also I have given it as a chariot to the Supreme. So much of surrender, that was the extent of total surrender. The third step he took was then becoming a yajna father. Because he established a yajna after surrender, then he declared, this is the most purest sacrificial fire. So, establishing this yajna, then becoming an instrument of taking care of the yajna. As a yajna father and mother, he started sustaining all those children who were in the yajna. Because when the boarding school was opened and all the brothers and sisters who came to study were given the Laukik study, and with that was taught the spiritual knowledge. But together with that, sustaining them. I am reminded that once Gulzar Dadi was sharing her experience that when we came to this boarding school and Baba had kept some mothers to take care for us small children. And Baba used to tell those mothers, look, this youngest children are my deities. And so, such good care should be taken for them. Nowhere there should be any complaints. In the morning also, how they should be woken up, how they should be prepared to go to study, how they should be prepared for meditation and everything. So as if the deities are being decorated during the whole day. In Indian temples, you might have heard that there is decoration of the adornments of those deities every hour, sometimes for some of them, and for some, four times in a day or six times in a day, they are adorned with different jewelry, different dresses, different things. So Baba used to say, these are my living deities. And so, this living deities should also be taken care so much. So that is how Baba as a yajna mother and father started sustaining, giving the love, care, everything, made the mother's instrument to take care of these children. So the third step was being a yajna mother and father. So the first step, soul consciousness, self-sovereignty. Second step was total surrender. Nothing is mine. Surrendering the I, becoming an instrument. And the third step is then becoming a Yajna father and sustaining all the children with so much of knowledge, spiritual understanding. No doubt, when all the sisters who had come from the world, everybody's sanskars were different. Everybody had their own sanskars, their own way of living, their own lifestyle, everything. But when they came to Baba, Baba nourished them so much with knowledge. Baba made them practice meditation, made them pay attention on all the four subjects. So this is how he sustained the Yajna children, so that in the Yajna, they become used to the Yajna disciplines and the Yajna principles. So following first his own self and becoming an example for others also to follow. So this was the third step of being a Yajna mother and father, and taking care and sustaining and making them practice all the subjects of Brahmin life and Maryadas, principles, everything together. Then comes the fourth step. And the fourth step that Baba took was that after they shifted the Yajna from Karachi to Mount Abu, and when they shifted from there, then here, because we all know Karachi is by the seaside, so the temperature was so moderate, there was never any cold wave or anything. And coming to the mount was a lot of cold during those days. These days also we experience cold, so during those days, definitely the cold was too much. And so, the brothers and sisters who had surrendered and who came from Karachi to Mount Abu, everybody was to be protected from the cold. So Baba spent all that was left and purchased warm clothes and warm beddings and everything for the children. And there was no source of income. 14 years Baba had been sustaining on the wealth that he had. 350 brothers and sisters were being sustained for 14 years. And so royal, with great royalty, as living deities, he used to give them everything that they needed for their nourishment. But naturally, when they came here, and whatever was left was used. So there was no source of income, no bhandari, no money was coming in. So then the fourth step was in the beggary part. The beggary part started in the Yajna. And in that beggary part also, Baba was a carefree emperor. During that beggary part, they had to day by day sell off everything to sustain themselves. And finally, they had to move from Brijkoti to Pandav Bhavan. And this Pandav Bhavan, the basic structure of Pandav Bhavan was, it was a horse stable. And during, in that horse stable, because they had no money to pay off rent for the buildings, so naturally they had to compromise there of staying in that horse stable, build it in such a way so that at least they are protected from the cold wave and they are able to give protection to all those children. Now during that beggary part, also many left also definitely, because they felt now this is the end of the yajna, it can't progress any further. So those who had to leave, that was like Baba shook the tree. And those who were not ripe ones, those who felt as if everything has come to an end, and who did not have that faith. So it was a test paper of faith. And those whose faith was not firm, they left. So now the number was decreasing. But in that also, Baba was always carefree emperor. That was Baba's stage. He never came under the stress. He never came under any pressure. He never experienced stress or anxiety or any other stages, because he felt this is also a test paper. So his stage was completely stable and carefree. Many a times Dadi would come, Brijendra Dadi, who was in charge of looking after the accommodation and the food and everything. She used to come to Baba and she would tell Baba, there is not even a single grain left in the yajna and no money. So we have to feed 350 people. What should we do? Even though some people have left, some people had gone on service to different centers, to different places, but still there is a number whom we have to feed. So Baba just looked at her and said, okay, come at 10 o'clock. So she used to wonder, if Baba doesn't have anything now, where is he going to take out at 10 o'clock from? She would come 5 minutes early and Baba would look at the clock and say, okay, sit down, you have come 5 minutes early. And exactly at 10 o'clock, the postman would come and with a money order of about 500 rupees. Only 500 rupees. Because during those days, everything was very cheap. So those 500 rupees also would take them along for some days. And Baba would give that money in her hand. As soon as the postman would give, Baba would say, because Baba never touched money after he surrendered. He never touched. So he would ask the postman to give it to Dadi. And Baba would say, now you can go and get some flour and make some chapatis and some sabji and feed everyone. So many a times when this would happen, every time those 500 rupees would be over, she would come again and tell Baba. But Baba was always carefree. And sometimes she asked Baba, Baba, who is sending this 500 rupees? So Baba would smile and say, there is a Mandodari. Mandodari, you know who is Mandodari? Mandodari is Ravan's wife. In the scriptures, in the epics, she is Ravan's wife. So Baba would say, there is a Mandodari who is living in the kingdom of Ravan, but she has love for Ram. And so she is sending this 500 rupees. Everybody in her family was completely against Brahma Kumaris. And they knew that she must be sending something or the other through someone. So they would count the money and only give her that much money which is enough to buy grains and vegetables and milk and all that. But from that also, she would save little 500 and send it through post as a money order. So she was like a Mandodari in the kingdom of Ravan, but who had love for Ram, who used to have great love for Baba. She had never come to Yajna during those days. But slowly and gradually, after everybody passed away from the family, and she was the only one remaining, that's when she wrote a letter to... But till then, Yajna had come out of that beggary time. And she wrote to Baba, "I would like to visit Mount Abu." Just imagine when she came, the love Baba showered on her. Because she had helped the Yajna during such times when there was no source of income. And she had taken the Yajna out of that state and helped every step. And then one day, Dadi asked Baba, "Baba, didn't you ever have stress or tension? That there is not even a penny and not even a grain in the Yajna. Didn't you ever come under pressure or stress or anything like that?" You know what Baba said? Very lovingly, smilingly he said, "Whom do we offer bhog to first? We always offer bhog to Baba first. So the day when we have nothing to offer God, if He can starve, we can also starve." And in the path of bhakti, that was the faith Baba had. That God can never be starved. That is just a test paper is taking for us. So, in the path of bhakti also, it has never been such that God's beloved children would ever sleep hungry stomach. That can never be. So similarly, this was just a test paper. And if we first have to offer bhog to Baba, the day when we have nothing to offer Him, that is His problem. These children are not my children. They are His children. I'm just an instrument. So why should I take the stress? He is testing my faith. But I am very firm in my faith. That was Baba's faith. So the fourth step was being a carefree emperor under whatever condition. Under whatever condition came for the Yajna. And if we place ourselves in that time, what would happen to us? If we had to take care of a center where there is no source of income and we have to feed some people, what would happen? Would we be such carefree emperors in whatever condition may come? So that is the faith that Baba had, and he was unshaken. He passed that exam because beggary part was not for a few days, not for a few months, but for some years. And every time, whenever there was nothing in the Yajna, still Baba would not let anyone feel that there is no grain, no money left in the Yajna. He never made anyone feel that. That was his stage. And not only that, he would tell, "Okay, for breakfast, I'll take all the children into the jungles." So then Baba would just call all the children and take everyone on the walk. And there they would have berries and everything from the jungle. So the stomachs were filled. And by the time they came, the bhog was ready. Isn't it? So that was Baba's stage. Being a carefree emperor. Then the fifth step of Baba was being a true karma yogi. Being a true karma yogi. As soon as the yajna came out from the beggary days, then Baba started doing everything himself. Whether it was doing any physical work, whether it was cleaning the grains, whether it was doing something in the kitchen, anything, any work, Baba did for himself. He first did to show the children how it has to be done. So being a karma yogi, just imagine in Baba's life, when he was a jeweler, he never did anything. He never did anything because he had so many servants and everything. He was in a fulfilled stage. And in the fifth step, he is doing everything himself. Whether it was washing of clothes, he would go to the laundry room, and during those days they didn't have big machines or anything in which the clothes were kept and it is being washed. They used to wash by hand on the big stones. They used to rub the clothes because they were so dirty in the kitchen and doing everything. So naturally, and Baba would give the points to the brothers and sisters who were working there. Look, Shiv Baba is also a great washerman. And he is also washing the dirty souls, cleaning the souls. So filling the children such intoxication and being with them, he never ordered anyone. He never ordered, do this, do that. Never. He did everything himself and teach the children. It reminds me of one incident that Nirmal Shanta Dadi used to share, that one day Baba had a bus here, old bus, in which he used to take the children sometimes down to Abu Road and sometimes come up again. So the tires of the bus were worn out. So then they replaced the tires. So the old tires that came out, now what to do with those tires? So Baba told Nirmal Shanta Dadi, can you make slippers from these tires? So Nirmal Shanta Dadi, who had been brought up in a very beautiful way by Baba during those days, she said, Baba, do you think I'm a cobbler? How can I make slippers out of these tires? So Baba said, if you do not have that much of common sense of making slippers from these tires, how are you going to rule the kingdom? Supposing if any subjects come to you and ask the king, and you say, I don't know, how can that be possible? You have to be an example for everything. Anyone who would come to you, you should know how to do so that you can show anyone. So she said, but Baba, I don't know how to make slippers out of this tire. So then Baba sat, brought a big knife, cut those slippers, showed her and said, can you wear these slippers now? Baba wanted to break the body consciousness of each child. So the first thing Baba did was asked her then to make the slippers, and Baba said, okay, you make and I will wear your slippers. And Baba himself wore those slippers cut out from the tires. Such karma yogi. Everything he did first, so all the children followed. Another incident that I am reminded of, that once when Jagdish Bhai was sharing his experience, and he said, when I came into knowledge, and after that, every time I had this feeling, I want to meet Baba. So I would tell the sisters, I want to go to Abu. So every time the sisters would say, this is our principle, 1 year you have to follow all the principles, you have to follow the disciplines, then only you are allowed to go to meet Baba. So I was doing everything very sincerely for 1 year, and after 1 year when I got the permission to go to Mount Abu and meet Baba, on the way in the train, Jagdish Bhai said, I had so many imaginations about Baba. That Baba would be like a guru sitting on a gaddi and giving lectures, giving classes, giving the murli, and he must be like such a personality. Although he saw a photo, but still he said, I couldn't imagine Baba's personality. I was just trying to imagine in my mind how Baba would be, you know. But when he reached Abu, it was round about 2 o'clock, and the train had come, and he came up. So when he came up, the first sight of Baba was in half pants, and Baba was making the road. Because the road had washed during the monsoons, so anybody who could walk would gradually slip because of the stones, so they would slip and have a fall. So all the other brothers and sisters were, after lunch, they all went for rest, and Baba alone was making the road and was hitting with the powerful stone like something and was making it firm so that it doesn't wash away. And he said, when I saw Baba in this form, because I never imagined Baba in this way. So when I saw Baba in this form, I felt like just bowing down and touching Baba's feet. And I could not understand, what should I do? Should I help Baba in making this road? After the tiring journey that I had from Delhi to Mount Abu. So he said, I was just in my mind shocked to see Baba in this form, because I have never seen any gurus doing this type of work and all others going to sleep. The followers going to sleep and the guru himself is doing everything. So he said, this really touched my heart so much. I did not understand what I should do, whether I should help Baba or whether I should go and have shower, get fresh, and then come and help Baba. So when I was in a dilemma, Baba, as if he was reading my face, so he smiled and said, child, go and get fresh, have some rest, and come and meet me in the evening. So he was still wondering whether I should follow Baba Srimad or whether I should help Baba. So then Baba again said, no child, go get fresh, have some rest, you must be tired, and then come in the evening to meet me. Then I had to follow Baba's directions. And I went, but I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. And in the evening when I met Baba, he said, I asked Baba, Baba, you are doing... So then Baba explained, yes, children come and they may have a fall. So the father would always have this feeling, none of my children should ever have a fall. So that was Baba's form as a karma yogi. A very powerful karma yogi. Everything he practiced first and then he preached. He walked the talk. Whatever he used to say to the children, first he himself practiced it. And then, at that age, just imagine, at that age, in the 70s, he used to do everything himself. In the old age, he never set an order. He could have told the children, come children, make this road. Everybody would have gathered and made it. But no. Baba made everyone rest and he himself was doing it. So a true karma yogi. Then the sixth step. The sixth step was being a complete renunciate and a great tapasvi. Because once when there was a small sister, about 12 years old, who had come from the north, Himachal, from the mountains. A very innocent girl. Because when she was born, the astrologers, when they saw her date of birth and everything, they told her father that she is going to be a renunciate. She is going to be a sannyasi. She will never go into a household life. She would leave everything and become a sannyasi. So the father who had got that child after praying so much to God, she was the only girl, and when he heard that she is going to be a sannyasi, she won't stay with us. So the father thought, I would not educate her. Because if I educate her, then she will be in a state to read the scriptures. Then she will have this thought of leaving house and becoming a sannyasi. So her father did not ever send her to the school. So she played whole day and everything. But drama is such that the father came into knowledge. So when he started to come to listen to the Murlis, with her, this daughter also would accompany and listen to the Murli. And she liked the sisters so much that one day she told her father, I want to be like the sister. I want to stay. Then the father remembered, oh, the astrologer said that she would become a sannyasi. So he stopped going to the Murli class. But now, this daughter was so much into that company, she said, I can't stay without them. And anyway, she didn't have to go to school also. So she said, I'll go and stay with them. So she started going to stay with them on the center at the very young age, at 12 years. And then the sisters were coming to Mount Abu. So she also came to Mount Abu. So she was very innocent because she did not have any formal education or anything. And the only thing what she learnt at home or what she learnt at the center, that's all what she knew. But she couldn't read or write. So when she came to Madhuban, she was around about 14 years by that time. So when she came to Madhuban, and she met Baba with the group, and Baba saw her and saw that innocence on her face, Baba told her, child, can you come and meet Baba tomorrow 10 o'clock? She said, yes, Baba. But she doesn't know how to see the watch. So she doesn't know when it is 10 o'clock. She doesn't know how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She didn't know that. So, the next day after the Murli, the elder sister with whom she had come, she asked her, can you wash the clothes of the train? So she said, okay. She started washing the clothes. And it was 20 past 10. So, Baba was waiting for her. She didn't come. So then Baba took the hand of Lakshudadi and Didi, and Baba came walking. And then Baba saw her washing the clothes near the corner of the Shanti Stam. On one corner there was the pipe, and she was washing clothes there. So Baba went to her very silently, and Baba closed her eyes. And she because Baba's hands were so soft, so she didn't know it was Baba's hands. So she thought it must be the elder sister. So she called her name. She called the other sister's name. She called all those whom she knew. She called everybody's name. Then finally, when nobody answered, she said, "Baba, who is this?" So then Baba said, "Child, you took everybody's name, but you did not take Baba's name." Then she was shy. So then Baba said, "Child, Baba had asked you to come at 10 o'clock. She said, "Yes, I'm going to come at 10 o'clock. Then Baba said, "But child, it is 11 o'clock now." "No, I am going to come at 10 o'clock. So everybody laughed at her. And Baba said, "It's already, 10 o'clock has already passed." So then she was like, "Oh, I didn't know, I had to wash the clothes." So then Baba said, "Come, child." Baba took her and Baba gave her drishti. And in that drishti, she went into trance. And in the trance, when she reached the subtle regions, she met Avyakta Baba there in the subtle regions. And when she came back, Baba asked her, "Child, what did you see?" Because Baba knew her heart was very clean. She is very innocent, very pure. So she will speak the truth. So Baba asked, "Child, what did you see there?" So she said, "Baba, should I tell you?" So Baba said, "Yes, you should tell Baba. What did you see there?" So she said, "Baba, the Baba up there is so beautiful." And Baba said, "How about me? You are not that beautiful." So Didi said, "You shouldn't speak that." So Baba said, "Let her speak. I specially sent her because I know you sisters do not tell me the truth how Baba is there." Because Baba wanted to know how the Baba there is. So then Baba said, "So what is the difference between that Baba and this Baba?" So she said, "That Baba has a lot of light radiating. And you don't have that light." So then Baba started doing intense tapasya, intense meditation. Till then, Amrit Vela was not like at 4 o'clock or earlier then. But Baba started waking up at 4 o'clock and made this discipline. Till then there was no Amrit Vela. But after that, Amrit Vela started. And Baba used to wake up at 4 o'clock, do intense tapasya. And Baba practiced himself so much, being bodiless, going into that stage, angelic stage, and taking the light and might from Shiv Baba and filling the self with that light and might. After 6 months, she was again called, "Child, go again to Baba and see the difference." So she again went to Baba in trance, in the subtle regions, and she came back and said, "There is still some difference remaining." Again, then Baba started getting up at 2:30. 2:30 Baba used to get up. Intense meditation, intense tapasya was being done by Baba. And after another 3 months, when Baba again called her, and then she said, "Now there is no difference. It is same. Equally, that radiance of light and might is in both the forms." Then she wanted to say something to Baba. So Baba said, "Stop. Now Baba understands you don't have to speak anything." Because Didi and everybody was sitting there. So Baba said, "You stop. Don't speak anything." Because she saw in the subtle regions as if this Baba was getting merged in that Baba. And as if Baba was leaving this chariot. She saw that 3 months ahead. So when she saw that 3 months ahead, and she was about to speak, so Baba stopped her. Because he didn't want to create that panic or waste thoughts in all the children. So Baba said, then Baba called her alone when there was nobody, and she said to Baba, Baba, I saw this. So Baba says, Baba knows, but you promised that you would not say this to anyone. So then she said, I promise I won't say it to anyone. But then she really had this feeling that Baba is going to become avyakt very soon. So that was the sixth step, being a great renunciate and intense tapasya, intense tapasvi form. Then the seventh step was on the last day. On the last day, when he had called Prakashmani Dadi, shown her everything around, after giving the murli, and then as if during those 2-3 days when Dadi Prakashmani was with him, as if Baba was showing her everything, how to run the yajna, how to take care of everyone, how to handle the yajna. And Dadi was wondering, why is Baba telling me everything? She could never imagine Baba would go away. But as if Baba was prepared to just fly off. So, Baba was as if giving the will power to Dadi during the last 2-3 days, as if signing the will of all powers, the 8 powers, all other powers, to handing over everything to Dadi. So signing the will to the Dadis, all the Dadis. Each Dadi, he was giving some or the other speciality, blessing them and signing that will. And then the last step was of Nashto Moha. That means that he became completely conqueror of attachment and constant in the remembrance, or in being the embodiment of the form of remembrance. So the last step was conqueror of attachment. So although all the children were there, standing in front of Baba, but his mind was not connected to anyone. He was completely detached and he flew away. The soul flew away. So that was the last step. After signing the will, after handing over all the powers to all the Dadis, then the last step was complete detachment, conqueror of attachment. Although the children were there, he loved all the children, but still completely detached and becoming the embodiment of remembrance. So that were the 8 footsteps of Baba. And from the beginning to the end, first was practicing soul consciousness and becoming a complete self-sovereign soul. Second step was of total surrender, mind, body, wealth, complete surrender. The third step that Baba took was of being a yajna father and mother and sustaining everyone. The fourth step that Baba took was of being a carefree emperor in whatever times that came. And the fifth step was being a true karma yogi and teaching everyone what to do, how to do, how to completely finish off the body consciousness, ego, and doing everything, practicing everything by himself. The sixth step was of being a great renunciate and a true tapasvi, intense effort maker. And the seventh step was of signing the will, all the willpower to the Dadis. And the last step was of being conqueror of attachment, completely detached and becoming the embodiment of remembrance. So these are the 8 footsteps of Baba, which led him to become perfect. So these are the footsteps that we have to walk in. Okay? Om Shanti.